You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. As well, you can hear these podcasts at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. There are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, which are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 99 by Rudolf Steiner, 14 lectures entitled Rosicrucian Wisdom, translated by Johanna Collis. This is Lecture 9, given in Munich on the 2nd of June, 1907, entitled Planetary Evolution, Part 1. We shall most easily understand the progress of humanity through the three incarnations that preceded Earth, Saturn, Sun, and Moon, if we first have another look at the sleeping, dreaming human being. Observing someone who is asleep, the seer beholds the astral body with the ego, enveloped in it, as though floating above the physical body. The astral body is outside the physical and etheric bodies, but remains connected with them. It sends threads, or rather currents, into the universal body of the cosmos, and seems as though embedded in it. Thus, in the sleeping person, we have the physical, the etheric, and the astral bodies, with the latter sending out feelers toward the great astral universe. If we picture this condition as an enduring one, if here on the physical plane there were only human beings who had the physical body interpenetrated with the etheric body, while above hovered over them an astral body with the ego, then we should have the condition in which humanity existed on Moon, except that on Moon the astral body was not strongly separated from the physical body. It immersed itself in the physical body to the same degree as it expanded into the cosmos. Now picture a state of sleep where no dream ever comes. This shows you the condition in which humanity existed on Sun. Then go on to imagine a human being who has died, so that even his ether body is outside the physical and united to the astral body and ego, although the link is still not quite severed. Imagine that what is outside, embedded in the whole surrounding cosmos, is sending down its rays and working upon the physical substance. This shows you the condition in which humanity existed on Saturn. Down there on the cosmic globe of Saturn, there was only what we have in our purely physical body. It was surrounded, so to speak, by an etheric astral atmosphere in which the egos were embedded. Human beings were already in existence on Saturn, but in an extremely dulled state of consciousness. These souls had the task of maintaining in an active and mobile state something that belonged to them down there below. They worked from above on their physical body, like a snail fashioning its shell. They acted from outside like a tool on the bodily organs. We will describe the appearance of what the souls worked on from above. We must give some little description of this physical Saturn as such. I have already said that the part of the physical body elaborated there was the foundation of the sense organs. The souls worked from without upon the Saturn surface, upon what lived in human beings as rudiments of the senses. They were in the cosmic space surrounding Saturn, and down below were their workshops, where they worked out the archetypes for eyes and ears and the other sense organs. What was the fundamental quality of this Saturn existence? It is hard to characterize, for we have scarcely a word in our language which is suitable. Our words are quite materialized and are only adapted to the physical plane. There is one word, however, which can express the delicate work that was being carried out there. The verb, in quotes, to reflect, describes it. The Saturn globe, in all its parts, had the capacity to reflect everything, such as light, sound, fragrance, taste, that reached it from outside. All this was reflected back again, In cosmic space, one perceived these things as reflections in the mirror of Saturn. One can only compare it with the effect of looking into the eye, EYE, of another human being, and seeing our own image in miniature, looking out from it toward us. In this way, all human souls were aware of themselves, but not only as a picture in color. They perceived themselves in taste, in fragrance, in a specific feeling of warmth. Saturn was thus a reflecting planet. The human beings living in the atmosphere cast their essence and being into it. And out of the pictures that then arose, the rudiments of the sense organs began to take shape. For they were pictures that worked creatively. Imagine yourself in front of a mirror from which your own image confronts you, and that this image begins to create. That it is not a dead image, as in our modern lifeless mirror. There you have the creative activity of Saturn. There you have the kind of way human beings lived on Saturn and accomplished their work. This took place down below on the Saturn globe. Up above, the souls were in the deep trance consciousness of which I spoke yesterday. They knew nothing of this mirroring, yet they brought it about. In this dull trance consciousness, they had within them the entire cosmic all. And thus the whole cosmic all was mirrored from their being. They themselves, however, were embedded in a basic substance of a spiritual kind. They were not independent, but were only one part of the spirituality surrounding Saturn. They could not, therefore, have a spiritual perception. Higher spirits perceived by means of them. They were the organs of perception for other spirits. A whole number of higher spirits lived in the surroundings of Saturn, all those whom Christian esotericism called the divine messengers, angels, archangels, primal forces, powers of revelation. All these were contained in the Saturn atmosphere. Just as the hand belongs to the organism as a whole, so did the souls belong to these beings. And just as little as the hand has an independent consciousness, so little had they at that time a consciousness of their own. They worked out of the consciousness of higher beings, the consciousness of a higher world. They thus fashioned the forms of their sense organs, which then became creative, and they also molded the Saturn substance. You must not think of this substance of Saturn as being as dense as human flesh is today. The very densest condition that it could attain was not even as dense as our present physical air. Saturn did become physical, but it only reached the density of fire, of heat or warmth, in which our modern physics no longer discerns any physical material at all. For the spiritual scientist, however, heat is a finer substance than gas. It has the characteristic of continuous expansion. And since Saturn consisted of this substance, it had the power of spreading from within outward, of raying out everything, of reflecting. Such a body radiates everything. It has no need to keep it all within itself. Saturn was not a uniform substance, but of such a composition that one could have perceived a differentiation, a configuration. Later, the organs became rounded into cell-shaped balls, except that while cells are small, these were larger, resembling a mulberry or blackberry. You could not as yet have had sight on Saturn, for the reflecting process threw all light that came from outside back again. Within this Saturn substance, all was dark. Only toward the end of its evolution did it begin to light up a little. A number of beings were present in the surrounding atmosphere of Saturn. You yourselves were not alone in working on your sense organs, for the human soul was not yet so far developed as to be able to work alone. You worked in conjunction with other spiritual beings, under their guidance, so to speak. Certain beings worked on Saturn as independently as modern human beings today. They were then at the human level. They could not have the shape of modern human beings, for heat was the only substance of Saturn. In respect of their intelligence, their ego consciousness, however, they were at the level of present human beings, though they could form no physical body, no brain. Let us observe them more closely. The present-day human being consists of four members, physical body, ether body, astral body, and ego, and prefigured in the ego are spirit self, life spirit, and spirit man, or manas, buddhi, atma. The lowest, although of its kind the most perfect member on the earth planet, is the physical body. The next higher is the ether body, then the astral body and the ego. There are also beings who have no physical body, whose lowest member is the ether body. They have no need of the physical body in order to be active in our sense world. In compensation, they have a member that is higher than ours, seventh. Others have the astral body as their lowest member, and in compensation, a ninth. And again, others who have the ego as their lowest member have, in compensation, a tenth member. When we consider the beings who have the ego as lowest member, we have to say they consist of ego, spirit self, life spirit, spirit man. Then come the eighth, ninth, and tenth members, which are what Christian esotericism calls the Holy Trinity, Holy Spirit, Son or Word, Father. In theosophical literature, one is accustomed to call these the three logoi. These beings, whose lowest member is the ego, are those who come into special consideration for us in the Saturn evolution. They were at the stage which humanity has reached today. They were able to exercise their ego under those quite different conditions that I have described. They were the human beings of Saturn and the predecessors of our present humanity. They irradiated the surface of Saturn with their egohood, their most external nature. They were the implanters of egohood in the physical corporeality that was forming on the surface of Saturn. Thus they made it their care to prepare the physical body in such a way that it could later become the bearer of the ego. Only such a physical body as you have today, with feet, hands, and head, and the sense organs incorporated in it, could be the ego-bearer at the fourth stage, Earth. For this to come about, the seed had to be implanted on Saturn. One also calls these ego-beings of Saturn spirits of egoism. Egoism has two sides, one admirable, the other objectionable. If at that time on Saturn and on the succeeding planets the essential nature of egoism had not again and again been implanted, the human being would never have become an independent being who can say I to himself. Into our bodily nature there has been instilled ever since Saturn the sum of forces which stamps you as an independent being, separating you off from all other beings. To this end, the spirits of egoism, the Asuras, had to work. There are two kinds of these, apart from a few slight degrees of difference. The one kind has elaborated egoism in a noble, self-reliant way that has risen higher and higher in the perfection of the sense of freedom. This is the admirable independence of egoism. These spirits have guided humanity through all the successive planets. They have become the educators of humanity toward independence. At every planetary stage, there are also spirits who have remained behind in evolution. They have remained stationary and not wished to progress. You will recognize a law from this. If the most admirable falls and commits the, in quotes, great sin of not advancing with evolution, then it becomes the very worst of all. The noble sense of freedom has been reversed into something objectionable, its opposite. These are the spirits of temptation, and we must pay grave attention to them. They lead to the objectionable side of egoism. Even today they are still all around us, these evil spirits of Saturn. All that is bad draws its power from these spirits. When each planet has completed its evolution, it becomes spiritual again. It is, so to speak, no longer in existence. It passes over into a state of sleep in order, later, to come forth once more. Thus it was with Saturn. Its next incarnation is Sun, a Sun which you would obtain if you were to mix together, as in a cauldron, all that is on the Sun, the Moon, and the Earth, together with all the terrestrial and spiritual beings. Sun evolution is distinguished by the fact that the ether body entered into the physical body prepared down below. Sun had a denser substantiality than Saturn. It can be compared with the density of our present air. The human physical substance, your own body, which you formed for yourselves, is to be seen on Sun, interpenetrated by the ether body. You yourselves belong to a body of air, as on Saturn, to a body of heat. Your ether body was already down below, while your astral body with your ego remained enveloped in the great general astral body of Sun. There you worked down into the physical and ether bodies, just as you do in sleep today when your astral body is outside and works upon the physical and ether bodies. At that time you were elaborating the first rudiments of all that today are organs of growth, digestion, and reproduction. You are transforming the elementary sense organs of Saturn, some of which maintain their character, while others were transformed into glands and organs of growth. All organs of growth and organs of reproduction are sense organs, taken hold of by the ether body and transformed. When you compare the body of Sun with Saturn, you find a specific difference. Saturn was still like a reflecting surface. It rayed back everything it received in the way of taste, smell, and all sense perceptions. This was not so on Sun. Whereas Saturn rayed back everything direct, without taking possession of it, Sun first absorbed it and then rayed it back, being able to do so by virtue of having an ether body. Its body, penetrated by an ether body, did as the plant does today with sunlight. The plant takes up the sunlight, absorbs it, and then gives it back again. If it is put in some dark place, it loses its color and wilts. There would be no green coloring without light. So it was with your own body on Sun. It absorbed light, and also other ingredients, and as the plant sends back the light after having drawn strength from it, so did Sun, once upon a time, ray back the light after having worked it over inwardly. It filled itself not only with the light, but also with taste, fragrance, heat, everything, and radiated it all out again. Hence on Sun, your own body, too, was at the stage of the plant. It did not look like a plant in the modern sense, for this has only been formed on Earth. What you bear within you in the way of glands, organs of growth and reproduction, were upon Sun as mountains and rocks are on the Earth today. You worked on them as you nowadays tend and cultivate a little garden. Sun radiated back the ingredients of cosmic space. It shone in the loveliest colors. A wonderful sound rang forth, an exquisite aroma streamed out. Old Sun was a wonderful being in cosmic space. Thus at that time on Sun human beings worked at their own bodily substance, like certain creatures, corals, for instance, work from outside on their structure. This took place under the guidance of higher beings, for there were higher beings in Sun's atmosphere. We must concern ourselves with one special category of these who had at that time achieved the level reached by human beings today. On Saturn we have the spirits of egoism, who implanted the sense of freedom and self-reliance and had attained the human level. On Sun it was other beings who had as their lowest member not the ego but the astral body. They possessed astral body, ego, spirit self, life spirit and spirit man, and the eighth member, named the Holy Spirit in Christian esotericism, and finally the ninth member, the Son, the Word in the sense of the Gospel of John. As yet they did not have the tenth member, but instead as their lowest the astral body. These were the spirits who were active on Sun. They guided all the astral activity. They differ from modern human beings inasmuch as human beings breathe air, since air is in the earthly environment. These spirits, however, breathed heat or fire. Sun was itself a kind of being of air, surrounded by that substance which had previously formed Saturn, fire, heat. The part that had densified had formed the gaseous Sun. And what had not densified was a surging sea of fire. These beings were able to live on Sun and inhale and exhale heat, fire. They are therefore called the spirits of fire. They were at the human level on Sun, and they worked in the service of humanity. One calls them Sun spirits or fire spirits. Human beings at that time were at the stage of sleep consciousness, whereas the sun-fire spirits had already attained ego consciousness. Since then, they have developed further and ascended to higher degrees of consciousness. In Christian esotericism, they are called archangels. The highest evolved spirit who was on sun as a fire spirit, who today is still active upon the earth, with very highly evolved consciousness, this sun or fire spirit is the Christ. In the same way, the most evolved Saturn spirit is the Father God. Christian esotericism knows that incarnated in the body of flesh and blood of Christ Jesus, there was precisely such a sun-fire spirit, indeed the highest, the ruler of the sun spirits. To come to the earth, he had to make use of a physical body. He had to live under the same earthly conditions as human beings in order to be able to be active here. On sun, then, we are concerned with the sun body, as it were, a body of the sun planet with ego spirits, who are fire spirits, and with a ruler of the sun, the most highly evolved, the Christ. When earth was sun, this spirit was the central spirit of the sun. When earth was moon, he was more highly developed, but he remained with moon. When earth was the earth, he was most highly developed and remained with the earth, having united himself with it after the mystery of Golgotha. Thus he is the highest planetary spirit of earth. Earth today is his body, as previously sun was his body. Therefore, you must take literally the words of the John Gospel. Whoever eats my bread treads me underfoot. For the earth is the body of Christ. When human beings who eat the bread taken from the body of the earth walk upon the earth, they tread underfoot the body of Christ. Take these words quite literally, as all religious documents must be taken. Only one must first know the true meaning of the letters, and then seek for the Spirit. Now something else. Not all beings within this sun mass came to the stage of evolution of which I have spoken. Many stayed behind at the stage of Saturn existence. They were unable to receive into themselves what streamed in from cosmic space and send it back after receiving it. They had to send it back direct, without first absorbing it. These beings, therefore, appeared on sun like some kind of dark encapsulations that could not send out their own light. Since they were enclosed in the sun mass, surrounded by a mass sending out its own light, they appeared like dark patches. We must therefore distinguish between those places on sun which radiated out into cosmic space what they had received, and those which could not radiate anything. Thus they appeared as dark insertions within the sun mass. They had learned nothing new on Saturn. Just as in the human body you do not find glands and organs of growth everywhere, but the body is interspersed with dead parts which have been incorporated, so was Sun interspersed with these dark insertions. Our present Sun is the descendant of the Earth-Sun body. It has cast out the moon and the earth, and has retained the most advanced part. What was present in the former sun body, as relics of Saturn, are still to be found in the present sun, in what we call the sunspots. They are the last vestiges of Saturn, which remain in the shining sun mass as dark insertions. Our esoteric wisdom discloses the hidden spiritual sources of physical facts. Physical science substantiates the physical causes of the sunspots through its astronomy and astrophysics. The spiritual causes, however, lie in that residue remaining from Saturn. We now ask, what kingdoms were there on Saturn? Only one, the last traces of which are contained in the present mineral kingdom. When we speak of the human being passing through the mineral kingdom, we must not think of present-day minerals. The last descendants of Saturn mineral must rather be seen in your eyes, ears, and other sense organs. These are the most physical, the most mineral parts of you. The apparatus of the eyes is like a physical instrument, and even continues unchanged for some time after death. The single Saturn kingdom progressed on sun to become a kind of plant existence. There we encounter the human body growing like a plant. What was left behind as Saturn kingdom became a kind of mineral kingdom on sun, which had the form of stunted sense organs that could not reach their goal. But all these beings on sun, which were developing human bodies, had as yet no nervous system within them. That was incorporated for the first time on moon by the astral body. Plants, too, have no nervous system, and therefore no sentient capacity. It is an error to ascribe sentience to them. But the astral bodies, especially those that proceeded from the fire spirits, sent a kind of stream into the substance that was down below as physical and etheric bodies. These streams of light divided in tree-like forms. Their last traces are to be found in densified external form as the organ we call the solar plexus. This goes back to the ancient in-streaming on sun, densified to substance, and hence the term solar plexus. You must picture the bodies which you had on sun as if currents from above streamed into you, currents interlaced as a branching tree. The sun is represented in the numberless interlacings which are your solar plexus. In Germanic mythology, these branchings were represented as the world ash tree, which, however, signifies very much else besides. Then sun passed into a state of sleep, and was transformed into what in spiritual science we call moon. This was a third incarnation of earth, which will again introduce to us a directing central spirit. The highest ruler of Saturn, the ego spirit, appears to us as the father god, and the highest ruler of sun, the sun god, as the Christ. Similarly, the ruler of the moon stage of earth appears to us as the Holy Spirit, with his hosts known in Christian esotericism as the messengers of the Godhead, the angels. We have now accomplished our study of 2 days of creation, which in esoteric language are called Dies Saturni and Dies Solis. To them we must add Dies Lunae, the moon day. The existence of a directing Godhead of Saturn, sun, and moon has always been known. The word Dies, day, and Deus, God, have the same origin, so that Dies may be translated either as day or Godhead. So for Dies Solis, one can equally well say Sun Day or Sun God, meaning the Christ Spirit in both cases. The end of Lecture 9.